story of Jesus and the wild demoniacs. Part 1, the story of Jesus and the graveyard demoniacs. Part 1, the Just Jesus Evangelistic Campaign, Day 619, since January 20th, 2017, Day 986, since January 1st, 2016. Matthew chapter 8, verse 28. And when he was come to the other side into the country of the... I've heard it pronounced three different ways. The one I heard today sounds rather demonic itself. And so I'm going to try to avoid that, and I'm going to go with what I know. Gergesenes. There met him two possessed with devils coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce. Just yesterday, a lady, bless her heart, she should not have done this. She was in a northern town, and she saw a lady on a corner with a sign, with a baby in her arm, at 12:30 in the morning. So she felt compassion for the woman and was reaching out of her car window to give the woman some money. But the woman had a partner that she did not see. A male out of nowhere came and stabbed the woman in the heart and took all of her money, the money she was giving plus the money in her purse. And it is reported that she has died. People who are filled with demons are fierce. Exceeding fierce. They are very violent and very hateful. Coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way, not even to help the homeless with a few dollars, get some food to eat. No one could even pass that way. There are cities, there are whole districts where police officers don't even pass that way because the people are demon-possessed. Excuse me. That's not what they call it. They just call it a violent neighborhood. These people have demons. And behold, they cried out, saying, "What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" Notice that these demons already knew who Jesus was. They knew. And there was a good way off from them, and heard of many swine feeding. I want you to notice that the devil is trying to possess you. I want you to notice that. I need the mic. The devil is trying to control you. The devil is trying to oppress you. The devil has something that he wants to do with you. And if you don't let him, and if the Lord, you call on the Lord to protect you, he's going to look for somebody else who is more willing to allow him inside the door. And as an old Hawaiian piano player said, sung one time, "Don't let the devil ride." Amen, somebody. So the devils besought him, saying, "If thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine." They have this eagerness to possess beings that are living. And he said unto them, go. Now notice, I want you to notice how Jesus just said go. This is kind of like how we say go when we have to deal with a treacherous individual and a person who is just a menace and a mess and a nuisance. And what do we say? Go. This is the way that Jesus told these demons, just go. Get out of these men. And that ought to point out to you that God is concerned about human beings more than the animals, contrary to what our society is trying to do today. And he said unto them, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, the pigs. And behold, that whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. Do you feel something on the inside of you trying to push you to your death? Do you feel something in your mind trying to push you to commit suicide? I'm here to tell you that's not God, contrary to what some mixed up Christians are saying today. God has nothing to do with that at all. The reason why these demons got these men near and in a graveyard is because they're all about death. The devil is about death and snuffing your life out before you trust Christ as Savior. And that's why there's a whole lot of killing up in Chicago and across this nation and around the world. There's a devil loose, contrary to what people want to say, and everybody talking about how if we would just get together and dialogue and have community meetings, these demoniacs would not kill each other. Oh yes, they will. They will come to your meeting and kill their enemy there and kill you too, and we'll go to the funeral. Listen to me very carefully. These demoniacs will go to the funeral to kill somebody at the funeral. And they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place. Not in an orderly fashion. Violently. Scratching on one another, running into each other, down a steep place into the sea, and perished in the waters. And they that kept them, that is, kept the pigs, fled. They had never seen anything like it before. Demon-possessed pigs, that's a bad combination, and went their ways into the city and told everything and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. Holy Father God in heaven, we pray in the holy name of the Lord Jesus Christ. As you know, the devil himself did not want me to preach this tonight for various and sundry reasons, I'm sure. But we have sensed his influence. We have sensed his pressure, but we are, by your grace, not ignorant of his devices. And so by your grace and by the power of your Holy Spirit, we don't skip certain portions of your holy word. We march on. Have mercy and grace upon us as feeble, sinful people, your believing children. For Jesus Christ's sake, forgive us of our sins. We are weak and feeble, and we need your strength and your might. Crush and crucify, Lord, our flesh afresh and anew, and fill us with a double portion of the power of your Holy Spirit. Grant us fresh unction and anointing to preach your holy word. And Lord God in heaven, we pray that you'd rebuke and bind every nasty devil, every demon from hell, from this place, and from your people. Cast out the devils and the demons of hell, in the satanic demonic spirit of Judas and the spirit of hindrance, Sanballat and Tobias, from this place, and have your holy word to go forward mightily and powerfully, Lord, not based upon what we can do, but based upon what you can do, for we are reminded by your holy word, it is not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. We pray for millions to hear the gospel and to be saved right from this pulpit, millions more through other ministries around the world, and we pray for Christians to be encouraged and revived and understand that they may have a devil loose in their family and they need to know how to call on you, Lord Jesus, for it is in your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, earlier in this passage, we saw where Jesus cast devils out of many people who were brought to him in Capernaum. That one verse I mentioned was an overview that described the reality of demon possession in the first century and lays the foundation for us dealing with it today. There are many things happening in this country and around the globe that are inexplicable outside the fact that there's a devil loose with his demons. Children are being demon possessed or possessed by demons. Grown folks. The Catholic Church tells us more and more people are calling for exorcisms in their families. Not a psychologist, not a psychiatrist, but an exorcist. This is real talk. This is a real situation. Some of the divorces that are happening in the church are inexplicable, other than the fact that there's a devil loose with his demons. Children who were brought up in church, who used to play Patch the Pirate, now they are real pirates out carjacking people and killing people. Just the other day, a dear pastor's wife, was, I think, driving down the road, and she stopped for something, and two or three young hoodlums, no doubt with demon activity in their lives, killed her and stole her car. I tell you, dear friends, there's a devil loose in the world with his demons. And you need to be aware of this. And as a child of God, you need to resist the devil, that he flee from you. And you had better, if you are a child of God, if you're born again, if you're saved, you had better start doing what God has commanded that you do, and that is pray without ceasing. Because it's going to be a very terrible thing to lose your child to the devil instead of him finding Jesus or her finding Jesus and serving Jesus for the rest of their lives. The only reason why my children are all serving God with me in the ministry and serving God in many other ways is I believe this with all of my heart. I led them to the Lord personally myself, and they're not perfect. by no means. But they know, God knows, my wife knows, before they were born, and when they were born, the first voice that they heard was their father praying for them. They don't know a day that they have not, that their father has not prayed for them. The family that prays together still stays together, but you've got to pray, and you've got to pray without ceasing, and you've got to teach them to pray without ceasing. Will you have some rough times? Yes, because the devil does not give up easily. Will you have some tough times? Yes. Will you have to whip some behinds? Yes. Can it get ugly sometimes? Yes. Let it get ugly. But do what God has told you to do. Because the devil wants to possess your child and drive them to hell, to death and to hell. People are committing suicide today like never before. Young people being driven by demons to kill themselves only to wake up in hell. Young men being driven to be effeminates and being homosexuals, damning their souls to hell. Women forsaking the natural use of men and getting into a demonic situation. See, that thing opens up demonic possession. You take in all kinds of demons when you get involved in that darkness, that backwardsness, that evil, those abominations, so many other things that open the door for the devil, seances, going to Miss Mama Mia on the corner and letting her touch the lines in your hand, looking at a demonic crystal ball, going to the astrology tables. People are doing some of everything, opening the door for the devil in their lives. Marriages are being ruined because of demons. Families are being destroyed because of demons. Everybody is running every which way trying to get help with something that a counselor called this or that, or a psychologist called this or that, and the Bible calls it demon possession. Your husband may be demon possessed. Your wife may be demon possessed. Are they fierce with their anger and their wrath all of the time? They're always angry, always mad, always bitter, always sad, always depressed, always down, never even halfway getting up. There's some demonic activity going on, dear friends. So, ladies and gentlemen, now in the verses that we are looking at tonight, we have a close-up view, if you will, a front row seat to two very real men who were possessed by very real demons and who experienced very real deliverance through Jesus Christ. And so, by way of introduction tonight, allow me to share with you from Dr. John MacArthur's commentary on this passage. After the miraculous stealing, that is S-T-I-L-L-I-N-G, of the storm, Jesus and his disciples continued across the Sea of Galilee to the other side. Jesus knew where he was going and he knew what his mission was, but the disciples did not necessarily. By now it was daylight, and the group of boats landed in the country of the Gadarenes. Those whom Matthew calls Gadarenes were also called what I say Gerasenes, but one person pronounces it Gerasenes. As found in some Greek texts, the small town of Gerasa was on the northeast shore of the Sea of Galilee. This was a real place. These were real people. This was a real graveyard. This was a real Sea of Galilee that still exists to this day. And these were real demons who are getting ready to be confronted by a real Jesus who cast them out into real pigs. Amen, somebody. This is not a fable. This is a true story. The small town of Gerasa was on the northeast shore of the Sea of Galilee, about 6 miles across the water from Capernaum. And ladies and gentlemen, the steep cliffs nearby fit the geographical setting. Don't lean on that. Fit the geographical setting described by Matthew. In their accounts of this incident, Mark and Luke mention only one demon-possessed man, but do not state that only one was present. For their particular purposes, they chose to focus on the more dominant of the two men. The Greek word used, daemon eizome, simply means to be demonized or demon possessed, to be under the control of a demonic spirit. Without regard to the kind or degree of control. And I'm here to tell you tonight, in your family, in your church, on your job, on the street corners of every city are people who have been demonized. They are demon-possessed. Some of the things that people think to do to other people can only come from a devil. Although its accounts of demonized people reflect many different conditions and degrees of control, Scripture does not clearly distinguish between being possessed, obsessed, or oppressed by demons. It is significant that Jesus never blamed a person for being either diseased or demon-controlled. He recognized them as victims of powers beyond their own control and as in need of deliverance, not exhortation or condemnation. As we see with these two men who were demon-possessed, the personality, Daniel Ezekiel, the personality, the voice of a demon can at will and sometimes continuously eclipse the personality and voice of the demon-possessed person, and I have seen this in real life. And some of you have as well, but you don't want to admit it. You have experienced a demon talking back to you. You don't want to admit it because it's your own family member. That's why so many families are broken up. Many, many Christian families are broken up, and it cannot be explained other than demonic activity in somebody's life. Some men act like they're demon-possessed. Some women, wives and mothers, act like they have lost their minds because they're demon-possessed. Certain teenagers that got a hold of something that they should have never touched, should have never seen, and they're demon-possessed. Looking at demonic activity online, stuff that they don't even know how to deal with. Men are demon-possessed through the doorway of pornography. Have no concern or feeling whatsoever for women other than to use them as a piece of meat, and driven by demons to kill women and choke women to death. I feel sorry for many young women today, because if the devil has not destroyed the man by emasculating him and making him an effeminate, he has destroyed him by filling his mind with pornography and other demonic foolishness. Where they will never come close to being a George H.W. Bush, a gentleman. He may be, we might be burying the last gentleman in America, in George H.W. Bush. Women are not going to find a man like that today. And oftentimes, it's because these men, even in the church, are demon-possessed, demon-oppressed, have a warped mind about women and marriage and family and so forth. And many women are the same way. It's sad, but it's true. And we need to stop lying about it, lying to ourselves. We've allowed the loose devil in, and he's found a home in many families and in many churches, unfortunately. There's a devil loose. There are demons loose, and people have let them in, and now they're wreaking havoc in families, in churches, in the business world, in our country, in our society. And Jesus is the only solution. He's the only one who can deal with that monster. And yet, the church is playing instead of praying. As Jesus and his disciples landed on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, the Bible says the two demon-possessed men came out of the tombs exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. Some of you parents, you cannot pass by the way of your child's bedroom. They've gone out to Lowe's or to Home Depot, and they have put a lock on your door in your house, claiming privacy. They don't want you going through their demonic stuff. And you don't want to go in there. because they act so violently towards you. They get up in your house, your children, and slam the door in your face, your door. Now, that has never happened to me, because that'll be the last time, but some of you parents allowed that garbage and that foolishness. There are districts, whole districts and cities, that police officers don't even want to go and refuse to go. Insurance companies will not cover them if they go in certain areas. We note here, ladies and gentlemen, the location of the men. They were in tombs, or graveyard situation, or more correctly, caves that served as tombs for the nearby community. This highlights for us the ultimate work of the devil in the lives of people, whether that work is demon possession or demon oppression or whatever, it always leads to death. It always leads to death. That's why we have an increase of so-called pastors killing themselves, so-called elders and church leaders committing suicide. Now we're having accomplished military men going into the military, almost retired, have done a wonderful job, and they end up killing themselves, as it happened the other day. Young people are killing themselves like taking aspirin. That's their aspirin, suicide. The devil is driving people to kill themselves. The devil is driving you. And if you allow the devil to control you and feel you and oppress you, you're going to find yourself dead, because that's what the devil specializes in. Death. He wants you finished. He does not want you to trust Christ as Savior. He wants you to go to hell like he's going. Not only that, if you are saved, he wants you dead, because you're causing him a problem. You are hindering him from doing what he wants to do, and that is destroy people's lives. Don't be shocked, beloved. Don't be shocked when a man who on Instagram and Facebook, smiling and grinning with his wife and children, and Christmas time and all, and all of a sudden he kills his wife and buries her in a shallow grave, murders his two beautiful daughters and throw them in a vat of oil, and go to the store the next day, in the same day really, in the morning, and buy him a little breakfast sandwich with a smile on his face. That's demon activity, people. This is inexplicable, other than there's a devil loose. And it's happening every day, and just because you don't hear about it does not mean it's not happening. And Jesus is the solution. And yet, again, the church is playing, straying, and not praying. And the devil is wreaking havoc across this country and around the globe. I have a whole lot more to say, but God is leading me to leave it there tonight. So let's stand for a word of prayer. Holy Father God, we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We praise you and we thank you for the beginning of this message. It is sorely needed. We need to be reminded about the violent, demonic beings that seek to possess human beings and even animals. Have mercy and grace upon those of us who are saved, those of us who have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet we're not taking this matter seriously. We're not praying without ceasing. we're not witnessing to others in showing the world that the only solution against this onslaught of satanic activity is the Lord Jesus Christ. For indeed he is the reason for the season. And help us never to forget that. Lord, help us to pray, to seek your face, to turn from our wicked ways, to humble ourselves, and help us to lift up Jesus Christ, who is the solution to the problems we're facing today. And help us, Lord, if we can't do anything else, help us to pass out gospel literature. Help us to tell people about Jesus, to witness every chance we get, and invite people to your house to hear more about Jesus, more about Jesus. For it is in his name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Ladies and gentlemen, in closing tonight, if you are with us tonight and you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ right now. You need Jesus in your life. You need Jesus in your family. You're not going to make it without Jesus. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. So does your spouse. So does your children. You need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou you shall be saved. So first accept the fact, dear friend, that you are a sinner. Sin is bad, and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty for sin. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. There's that word death again. The devil is all about death. Sin is all about death. The Bible makes it very clear that we die because of sin. Our bodies go to a grave. Our soul goes to hell if we never trust Christ as Savior while the blood is running warm in our veins and air is in our lungs. Jesus Christ said, ladies and gentlemen, in Matthew 10:28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is a terrible place. Hell is a sad place. Hell is a bad place. And Jesus said, in hell you will experience outer darkness and weeping and gnashing of teeth, not only weeping yourself and gnashing your teeth yourself, but hearing the gnashing of teeth from others, and the weeping and the wailing and the crying. What will they be crying about in hell? What are they crying about in hell tonight? We are standing above hell right now. And if you don't trust Christ as Savior, if you died tonight, you will go to the place that the devil is going to, that awful place called hell. Filled with darkness, yet with fire. Constantly falling and never hitting bottom. Weeping and wailing. Grinding of your teeth together. Why? Why are they crying and why are they weeping in hell tonight? They're crying and they're weeping because they had every opportunity to trust Christ as Savior and they refused to do so. They're weeping because their husband is in heaven or their wife is in heaven. Their little baby who died when she was young is in heaven. They are separated from their loved ones. they have terrible memories of when they almost got saved in hell tonight. They were just 1 second away. And then they were gone. But Jesus Christ said, ladies and gentlemen, very clearly, from the word, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Hell is an awful place. Hell is bad news, but I have some good news for you. Jesus Christ said these words, this is the good news. Cannot be said better than what Jesus Christ said in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, that is, perish in hell, but have everlasting life. Everlasting life in heaven with God and with Jesus Christ. Just believe in your heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for your sins, was buried, and rose from the dead by the power of God for you, so that you can live forever with him. So pray and ask him to come into your heart to save your soul today, to have mercy upon your soul, and he will. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. Saved to what? Saved to heaven. Is a life or death situation, dear friends. It's a heaven or hell situation. You say, preacher, why do you preach the gospel every day? I wish I could preach it 10 times a day. Because hell is hot, heaven is sweet, and Jesus saves. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'll be glad to lead you in this prayer called the Sinner's Prayer. Right now, you should feel a willingness on the inside to trust Christ as Savior like you've never felt before. Your eyes have been opened. So I'm talking to you tonight. Don't wait for your spouse. Don't wait for your friend. Trust Christ as Savior right where you are. They may not bow their head. That's okay. They might keep on looking at television. That's all right. But you bow your head and you pray and you trust Christ as Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou you shalt be saved. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner and that I have broken your Ten Commandments. I have lied many times. I have lusted after people and things, committing the sin of covetousness. I have dishonored my parents, and I have disobeyed my parents. I have taken your holy name in vain, and many other sins that caused me to deserve to burn in hell forever, that caused me to deserve to burn in hell forever. For Jesus Christ's sake, please forgive me of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past and to turn from my evil ways and to follow you in the new life. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Allow me to say congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet, What to Do After You Enter Through the Door. Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you, we love you, and may God bless you real good, is my prayer. I don't know why Jesus loved me.